I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at eplroundtable@gmail.com. All right, joining me now is Jamie Smith. You can find on Twitter at Jamie Smith Sport, and he also writes and works for Omnisport. And of course, we're going to be talking about Burnley, Jamie. First of all, we'll lead in with your win yesterday, come from behind against Watford. Looked it up, the last time Burnley lost a Premier League match was February 10th, but I feel like you aren't really getting a lot of coverage. What did you make of yesterday's match and this run you've been on?
Yeah, it was another really good win for us, actually. I think we got the monkey off our back about not winning from coming from behind a few weeks ago, so it doesn't feel as scary if we do fall behind in a game now. And yet, yesterday was quite a tight game. Watford fans were a bit upset about the manner of the victory. Two goals from set pieces conceded, from their point of view, isn't very good, and both of the awards were probably a little bit soft, to be honest. But that's the strength of Ashley Barnes, that he wins cheap free kicks and then we profited from them. So I think a couple of things to pick out from yesterday. Good attacking substitutions from Sean Dyche. That's a drum that I've had to beat a lot over Dyche's five and a bit years, that he's not quite proactive enough. But he put Sam Bolts on, scored with his first touch. So big tick in that box, worked absolutely perfectly. And I think we got on the front foot really well and tried to go out and win the game, which again isn't something that we've always gone on and done. But you're right, we're operating a little bit under the radar now. I think there was a lot of press in the first half of the season when we got off to that flying start. Then we had the little slump in the middle of the season where we didn't win for 12 games or whatever it was, a third of the season. But now we're winning again. People are just seeing the same things that they were at the start of the season. So I think we're quite happy going under the radar this way. We don't need a lot of positive press coverage, but it increasingly looks like we are going to finish seventh in the league, which is a magnificent achievement. We've got Leicester at home at the weekend, and I think if we win that game, which on current form we've got every chance of doing, then it's done and we will be seventh.
I'm interested to hear you say that you think you're going to come seventh, because Arsenal, just 5 points in front of you, have not been convincing either of the last 2 weeks, despite winning against Southampton and Stoke. Both of those matches were nervy for far longer than they should have been. Is there still any whiff of a dream about Burnley these days, about potentially claiming a Europa League spot?
I don't think there's any reason why we can't try and hunt down Arsenal or even Chelsea. They've obviously not had good seasons. Arsenal in particular have got their eye on the Europa League now. I think we saw today a very weakened team against Southampton, gave them a lot of opportunities to get a positive result, and Southampton just couldn't get the job done. So I think around their Europa League games, they are going to name similar lineups where they're giving young players an opportunity, so there's every chance they will drop points in the league. But 5 points is quite a big gap to make up at this stage. That said, we've got Chelsea at home next week. That's not a fixture that we have to be afraid of anymore. We have to go to Arsenal. We don't have a good record at Arsenal, as you'd expect. But again, we can go there and be confident. We've just won three away games on the trot. And I think we've got games like Brighton at home and Stoke away. So teams that you would look at on paper as not being as strong as us. So our running's quite kind, I think. Chelsea and Arsenal are the only big teams that we've got to play. And like I say, they're our kind of direct rivals at the moment. And I think, and stop me if I'm wrong, but I think seventh place will be enough for Europe this season, as long as Southampton don't win the FA Cup. I think that's how it works.
Oh, because the current teams are all also in Champions League spots?
Yeah, and the runner-up spot, the FA Cup runner-up doesn't get the spot anymore. It goes to the league. So I think there's two chances. As long as Southampton don't win the FA Cup, or if Arsenal win the Europa League and therefore get in the Champions League, I think there's two chances for seventh place to get into Europe. And like I say, I think it's our spot to lose almost now.
Well, I think it would definitely be fun to watch Burnley in Europe. I remember back when Swansea were in the Europa League, how fun it was to follow them. And I think they did fairly well, and hopefully you would do the same as well. You mentioned both Barnes and Vokes in your brief match recap there. And I'm curious right now as to who you think is the best forward at Burnley, because we've seen Barnes, Wood, and Vokes all on the score sheet the past few weeks.
Yeah, it was interesting that all three of them were on the pitch yesterday when we came from behind. Dash put Vokes on. Vokes has been playing very much off the bench recently, but he was quite happy to field all three. And I think that posed Watford a question that they didn't really have any answers to. For me, Chris Ward has made a huge difference. He spent quite a lot of the campaign injured, still adapting to the Premier League. It's his first season in the Premier League, but he's made a massive difference since he came back. I think he scored the winner off the bench in his first appearance of the year. Then Dyche put him in the team, rightly, playing him with Barnes. And the two of them have dovetailed really nicely. I think they combined to excellent effect in the win at West Ham. Also, very good at Watford yesterday. It wasn't our best performance, but they linked up particularly well. So I think results stand out for themselves, really, at the moment. And Chris Wood coming into the team, giving us that little bit of extra added quality, I think, in the final third has really made a difference. It says a lot that I think Wood's still our top scorer, even though he's missed quite a lot of games this season. So for me, our attack has to be built around Chris Wood. But one of the great things about yesterday's win is that, again, it came without both of our first-choice wingers. Robbie Brady still injured and Johan Gudmundsson wasn't fit either, a player I know you're a big fan of, but it means Lennon and Kudu have had a chance and they've done really well.
Yeah, and you mentioned when you signed both of those players that you kind of needed that pace. And so, as you said, when you're missing two of your best wingers, now you have usable options to come off the to come off the bench is incorrect, because as you said, they both started. But good to see them getting minutes and helping the cause. You are correct that Wood is currently leading you in goals. And I think he's also like top five in goals per 90, if I'm not mistaken. While we're kind of talking about comparisons between Burnley players, a lot of people are starting to get excited about Heaton coming back. Within the Burnley camp, who do you view as the better goalkeeper right now? Because some may think Heaton's just about to walk back into that job looking from the outside in. But curious as to who you think is actually better or what the strengths are of each.
It's a really interesting one, this, and it has been a subject of debate for the last few weeks among Burnley fans with Heaton coming back to full fitness. And obviously he was on the bench yesterday, which is maybe an indication that Dash sees Pope as number one at the moment. I think they do have conflicting strengths. I think Heaton's distribution is probably better than Pope's. That's a real weakness of Nick Pope's, that if he is going to be recognised internationally, I think that's probably an area that he really has to work on. But I think shot stopping, Nick Pope probably stronger than Heaton. Positioning, probably better as well. I think all round for me, Pope's got a lot more potential than Tom Heaton. I think Heaton's probably already reached his ceiling. And he's been a fantastic goalkeeper for us. But I think it's very exciting how good Nick Pope can be. If you look at the save percentages for not just the Premier League, but the top five European leagues this season. I was looking at this before this weekend's game, so I'm not sure how it's been affected. But Pope was ranking at over 80%, which is absolutely phenomenal. That's for all shots faced, and it ranks him in the sort of company with David De Gea, Alisson at Roma, who many are saying is going to be the next big thing, people like Ter Stegen. He's up there with sort of the top five, six, seven goalkeepers in Europe this season. And this for a lad who's never played in the Premier League before. There was a lot said when he got in the England squad 5 years ago, something he was doing a milk round while he was playing in the 7th, 8th tier of English football. So he's come an awful long way. But I think the exciting thing about Nick Pope for me is that I think he can get a lot better as well.
Interesting. Does your answer change at all for the England setup versus Burnley?
You know what? A few weeks ago, I was adamant that Heaton had to go back in the team as soon as he was fit to give him the chance to earn that place in the World Cup squad. But then Pope got in the squad for the March friendlies, and although he didn't get a cap, I think it had been really beneficial for him to go and train with elite goalkeepers and get a feel and a taste of that setup, and hopefully it'll make him hungry for more. But since then, I think Gareth Southgate, the England manager, has made it quite clear that Joe Hart is going to go. And I don't think there's any question about Jack Butland and Jordan Pickford either. So the top three seems to be set in stone, which is unfortunate for us because I think Nick Pope's been the outstanding English goalkeeper this season. And even being a biased Burnley fan, I think he should be in the three. I think it's ludicrous to take Joe Hart considering the problems he's had in the last 2 or 3 years on the basis of his international experience, which, let's remember, Joe Hart at major tournaments, he's been bad and embarrassing with the antics and the penalty shootouts against Italy at the Euro. So I think it's farcical and illogical, really, to be talking about Joe Hart in that company. But to come back to what I was saying before I went on my massive Joe Hart is terrible rant, I think Nick Pope should probably keep the shirt now for Burnley. He's done nothing wrong for the whole season that he's been in the team. I think he's one of the few goalkeepers to have not made an error that's directly led to a goal all season. There's been goals that he maybe could have done a bit better with. I think the one yesterday, he's probably a little bit disappointed that he didn't save, but it wasn't a clanger, it wasn't a big mistake, and he hasn't made one all season. So as much as Tom Heaton's the club captain and he's been our number one for 4 or 5 seasons, I think at the moment Nick Pope probably deserves to play.
Yeah, also hard to make a case for Butland against Pope this season, aside from anything other than pedigree, considering Stoke have conceded the most goals in the league this season.
He's had an awful season. He's also rubbish.
Yeah, it's really not good, and I fear he might be on a Fraser forced arrest regression, which would obviously not be good news for England. Do you think it's possible that you retain both Heaton and Pope through the summer and into next season?
I really hope so. I think it's the cliched nice problem to have, isn't it? But it is going to be one of the stories of the summer for us, I think, what we decide to do about that goalkeeping position. Because realistically, they're both good enough to be number ones in the Premier League, and you can't really carry two goalkeepers that want to be a number one. For me, as an idealist, maybe you could say Pope goes out on loan, maybe to a club near the bottom and gets more experience. Whether he'd be willing to do that, whether there'd be clubs looking to take him, I'm not sure. Then Heaton could have another season as number one, but it sort of just delays the inevitable for me. Also, if we do qualify for Europe, you could say you'd need a bigger squad. You could have one goalkeeper plays in Europe and all the cup competitions, which is what a lot of the clubs in the Europa League seems to do. But then you're talking a handful of games, really, aren't you? It's not something that the second choice is going to be particularly pleased with. So I think it is going to be, it's going to be something Dash is going to have to think a lot about in the next few weeks and over the summer. For me, I'd probably be putting very subtle feelers out to see if there was interest in Tom Heaton, because Nick Pope's the future, I think. And he's someone that could be our goalkeeper for a very long time. So I'd be sad to see Heaton go, because he's been great for us. He's a local lad, his family are Burnley fans, he's a club captain, played a part in 2 promotions. He's been fantastic. But I think Pope, you could argue, is already better, and he's certainly going to be better in the very near future.
Definitely will be interesting to see how all of that pans out. You mentioned Dyche's choice there. Sean Dyche himself has been fantastic this season. We did an episode a few weeks back where we mentioned our early player of the year and manager of the year nominations. I actually mentioned Sean Dyche, and well, obviously it's probably going to go to Pep Guardiola for the historic season City are having. I actually said Sean Dyche at the time, and curious to hear you make your case for why Sean Dyche should be awarded manager of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose you can make a case for Pep Guardiola, I suppose. but I think manager of the year is the one way you should really look at overachievement. So what club is doing substantially better than you would expect? Manchester City have had a fantastic season, and assuming the wheels don't come off spectacularly and they win the league comfortably, it's only natural that people talk about Guardiola, and he's done brilliantly. He spent a lot of money, but he's also improved pretty much every single player there, and I think he'd be a worthy winner. However, if you do look at it in terms of overachievement, where people were talking about Burnley finishing sort of above the relegation zone, 16th or so, where we finished last season, a lot of people were still tipping us to go down like they always do. If we were to finish 7th and qualify for the Europa League, that's a massive overachievement. all done on a very small budget, one of the smallest budgets in the Premier League. So the figures came out about clubs spending on agent fees. There was only one club, I think, in the Premier League spent less on agent fees than us in the last year. So it's a club that continues to do everything in the right way, not overspending, not overstretching. We've been without key players for a lot of this season as well. People don't mention it as much. For all I've just been hyping Nick Pope, but to be without the club captain for the majority of the season has been a massive blow. Robbie Brady's been out for a lot of the season. Stephen Defoe the same. Been without Gudmundsson recently. Ben Mee's missed games. James Tarkowski's missed games. Half of the team at times has been unavailable, and we've still ground out results. So it's not been pretty at times. We have scored some fantastic goals, but a lot of times it's been ugly football, playing to the percentages at times, but it's worked a treat. And for Burnley to finish seventh, I think it's very difficult to say that Dyche shouldn't be in the discussion, at least.
Yeah, I do think it. A lot of people did not think highly of Burnley coming into the season, considering the losses that you sustained and the fact that you are now, especially if those permutations are correct with the Europa League, you could be bound for Europe with a team that, as you say, people had either just above or in the relegation zone. Definitely no small achievement from Dyche and the Burnley players. All right, thanks so much, Jamie, for making time for us. If you want to tell the folks where they can find you, now would be a good time.
Oh, good. It's been a pleasure. You can follow me on Twitter at JamieSmithSports. I work for OmniSport. We supply stories on football to all sorts of people, including AOL, MSN, and various other people on the internet. So follow me at Jamie Smith Sport.
Yep, thanks so much for joining us, and I'm sure we'll speak soon.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.